How many love the blessings of the Lord, and you enjoy the blessings of the Lord? Amen. How many enjoy the Lord more than the blessings? How many know that He is our blessing, our greatest blessing? Amen. To have the Lord in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, I don't see in the Bible where we are instructed to seek the blessings of God. And yet, a lot of times, that's what it's about. And I do see where we are to seek the face of the Lord, and then the blessed life will result from that. And so sometimes, you know, people come to God only because of need, not because they really want God, but because they want God to do for them. And in Psalms 27:8. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. He said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And so, you know, a lot of times, again, we're coming to God with a list of things that we need. And God knows that we have need of these things. And God wants to meet your needs. Can somebody say amen? He is a good Father, amen. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. But God wants you. Amen. He wants our hearts. You know, some people, they pray for a job. As soon as they get the job, God's forgotten. You know, some people pray that their family will be restored. God restores their family, and then God is forgotten. Sometimes for health reasons, people start to get serious about God because my health is failing and the doctors aren't able to help me, so I'm going to turn to God, amen, and I'm going to cry out to Him. I'm going to get serious about this thing, at least until hopefully I get what I want. And everything's starting to go my way again, and you know, we can very easily forget God. In the time of plenty, in the time of prosperity, in the time of blessing, in the time when everything is going so well, we're more prone to wander during those times. Can you say amen? How many like your life to be smooth? Yes, yes, we do. We want a smooth life, right? And I believe that sometimes the storms of life are absolutely essential. They're necessary because sometimes we get settled in complacency. You know, the church of Laodicea was settled in complacency and was not aware of their true condition. So God had to turn the light on, amen, and expose what was really going on that they were unaware of, because in their own estimation, they were doing just great. You know, it's a beautiful sunny day today, and there's something about sunshine that makes people happy. And it's easy to be happy when the sun's shining. Can you say amen? And so sometimes our lives are like that. We can be happy as long as certain conditions around us are just so. You know, things are the way we want them to be. But if something doesn't go the way we want them to go, can we still be happy? Can we still find joy in the journey? Because sometimes our joy is dependent on what's happening externally, what's happening in our lives at the moment. How many know that God's joy is greater than that? In fact, it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength that will sustain you through difficult times. And I'm not talking about being fake and pretending you're happy when you're not. I'm talking about God wants to make you happy. And sometimes it takes a storm for us to turn to the only one, amen, who can bring peace in our lives so that we can truly be happy in Him. Because, again, so often without realizing it, we can just simply be relying on God for something that we need rather than for Him. God wants a relationship. He's a relational God. We are relational. Amen? And you've heard the term sugar daddy. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you help somebody out and they think, oh, I've got a sugar daddy now. Every time I need a handout or I need some help, I'll just go to sugar daddy. It's kind of like my little cookie, you know, my little dog. We even call her sugar baby, and they call me sugar daddy. So she's got me well controlled, you know. And so I'm hoping that if I give her enough treats, she'll want to come up on my lap and give me some love, you know. But sometimes when I give her a treat, it's like, thanks, later. You know, we're going somewhere with this. I don't know where, but we're going somewhere with this. But God's desire is for us to know Him. It's not enough just to learn about Him. You can learn and learn and learn, but you really can't learn God in a classroom. You have to know God, and God is revealed to you by the Spirit of the Lord. And so, John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me, that you may have life." You know, the Pharisees were, and the teachers of the law, and they thought that just the word, the Logos itself, was sufficient. You can learn about somebody without ever really knowing them. There are people in church that continually learn about God, but don't really know God. They don't know His voice. And you can't know His voice without first hearing about Him through the Word, through the spoken Word. But the Word has to be mixed with faith. And it's the Spirit of the Lord, amen, that reveals Jesus to us, the person of Jesus Christ. You cannot know the Lord except the Holy Spirit, again, reveals Him to you. So studying the Scriptures is important. Gaining knowledge of the Lord is important, but it's not enough. We are to learn about God so that we may know God. Amen. We learn of Him so that we may come to know Him personally, so that we may be able to identify and know His voice through His Spirit when He speaks to us. And I have witnessed people that have tons of Scripture knowledge, that know the Bible very well, and yet they live in defeat. They don't walk in dominion. They don't walk in victory. And it's not enough just to have the Logos. Amen. There has to be a faith that's mixed with the Word. And how many know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word? Amen. So there needs to be a repetition of the Word, but it's actually the living Word, amen, that we need to encounter, not just the Logos. So the written Word is to reveal the living Word, Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord. Amen. So we may know Him and know His voice, because you know as well as I do that we need to hear God, amen, in our lives. We need to hear Him on a daily basis. There are many things that we have to do, and we need direction. We need God's counsel. Amen. And you can't always find out what doctor to go to, for example, amen, in the Bible. Turn to John chapter, you know. No, you need to know God's voice so that you can hear and understand what He's saying to you, and know that it is Him speaking and not another that's trying to impersonate His voice. So we get to know the Lord's voice through relationship. David said, when you said, "Seek my face," it means to turn towards. Turn towards. In other words, it means to come face to face with God. You know, when you're communicating with somebody, you know, have you ever had somebody in your sights, you were communicating with them, and somebody else came up, and all of a sudden they just kind of got distracted, and they're no longer listening to you? You know, the enemy likes to do that. You know, God wants to speak to us, but the enemy wants to send people in our path to distract us, okay, from having that encounter to where we're actually hearing clearly what the Lord is saying. God wants to speak to us, but the question is, can He speak to us? Are we willing to really listen to what He's saying? Are we willing to take the time to have a face-to-face moment with God? It means to seek His very presence. We're not seeking His hand or the handout, but we want to seek the face of God. We want to know Him, know His presence. Amen. And with the Lord comes everything else that you need. Isn't that what He meant in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, the things that you need in life. So many people seek God only for what they can get from Him, but not to know him personally. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So if your treasure is in heaven, your interests are going to be centered there as well. If he is your treasure, if God is your treasure, then you will seek to know him. How many know that you want to be around certain people? And there's certain people you want to avoid. Be honest. And there's certain people you should avoid, by the way. But there are people that we want to be around. Especially people that we know really have our best interests at heart. People that really care about us, really love us. Those are the kind of people we want to hang out with. And we want to be with people that we can trust. People that we can bear our heart to, open up to. Amen? And you have to be careful because it's hard to find sometimes, isn't it? But we have a friend in Jesus. We have a faithful counselor. He's the lover of our soul. He wants to be the one to show us the way and to help us through every situation, every day. He wants us to know his heart. He doesn't want us just to learn about him, but he wants us to come to know him. To know his voice when he's speaking to us. The Jews showed by their rejection of the Lord's words that they didn't really belong to God. They thought they were children of God because of heritage, because they were descendants of Abraham. But Jesus rebuked them and said, "No, you're of your father the devil, because the works that he does, you do." And, you know, guys, let's face it, without the Lord in our lives, amen, that's who we are. Before we're born again, we're the seed of the serpent, amen? We were born corrupt. There's none righteous, the Bible says. I know some people don't like to hear that because they think they're pretty righteous, but what does God say about it? It's not my opinion that matters, it's God's truth, amen? And I want to make sure that I'm right with him. And I'm not going to depend upon the grace I give myself because that's deceptive. You know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not like other men. But we need to see God as our treasure. Not just a source of treasure, but as being our treasure and our reward. Because, listen, guys, in the blessing, there's no life. There's no life in the treasure. There's only life in the Lord. And if we just want God's blessing, then you'll get a blessing, but you're going to miss out the most important part, and that is the Lord himself. And so God doesn't want us, just like we wouldn't want our children to come to us only for the candy or for the handout. Amen? We want them to come to us because they enjoy our fellowship, our presence. Amen? And guys, I am guilty of this at times when it's all about God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. I have a long list every day that I come to God with. Amen? But most important of all, I do pray and I ask God to reveal himself to me because I want to know him. And so through prayer and the word, amen, God, by his Spirit, will reveal himself. If you are hungry, you will be satisfied. Amen? And the satisfaction doesn't come with just a blessing. Now, we know God can bless us financially, bless you with a home and a nice car and boat, whatever it is, you know, that you would esteem as treasure. But you know that treasure is short-lived. It doesn't really truly satisfy you because after maybe a few days, weeks, or months, things start to wear out. Things start to fall apart. And that new toy that you were so excited about is full of dents and scratches now. And back in New England, they call them Yankee yards. When the cars clunk out, they just park them in your yard, you know, and go get another one. So after a series of years, you find this yard full of dead cars, you know, called the Yankee Yard. So anyways, yeah, moving right along. But Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 6, "When you pray, go into your room And when you have shut your door, it's really talking about isolating yourself from all distractions. And some even we speak of the prayer shawl that they would put over themselves, where they could pray even in public, but they would put the shawl over themselves to shut themselves in, if you will, in the closet. It would be that personal time with God. He says, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What is he talking about? He's talking about intimacy, relationship with the Father. Because God's desire is that. He wants sons, amen, daughters. He doesn't want just servants. Can you say amen? And even in the Old Testament, God desired a relationship with his people. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 4, now this is what the Lord says to the family of Israel. Come back to me and live, or return to me and live. Don't worship at the pagan altars at Bethel. Don't go to the shrines at Gilgal or Beersheba. Anything that has beer in it should be avoided anyways. But for the people of Gilgal will be dragged off into exile, and the people of Bethel will be reduced. That was a joke, by the way. To the Lord and live. These various locations that he mentions here were once sites where they worshiped the one true God. And God's now instructing them not to go back to these sites. The reason why is because these sites had later on become converted to pagan altars. And they worshiped idols in these places, other gods. And you know, it's interesting to think that even in the United States, when the Pilgrims came, amen, and the Puritans first came, amen, Salem was what, city of peace? Was where they had the first really awakening and revival in America. And what is Salem, Massachusetts today? It's the capital of witchcraft, right? Well, you see sometimes people even make geographical locations holy sites, you know? But really, what we need to be seeking is not a holy location or site in the earth, but the heart of God, amen? The Spirit of the Lord. And so people get caught up in ceremony and ritualism and all kinds of things with an attempt somehow to appease or please God or somehow make God happy, you know. But these things don't fulfill. Remember, Bethel was the place where Jacob had the encounter, right, with the Lord, or the angel of the Lord. And then Gilgal or Beersheba was the place in Israel where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had worshipped. But then again, it became this place of idol worship. And, you know, it's the same thing is true today. If you and I don't keep our lives filled with Jesus, then the enemy is going to be more than happy to try to step in and fill up the voids in your life with what he has. Because, again, the devil is a narcissist. He loves to be worshipped in place of God. So he's going to look for ways, whether it be materialism or sex or whatever, ways to get you distracted away from what is true and right, amen, holy, and to begin to listen to his voice. If you're trying to satisfy yourself on the things of this world, guess what? You're never going to find it. Because only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. Only God can bring you true tranquility, peace, and contentment. Be content in the Lord first. Amen. If God is first in everything, if he is your contentment, if he is your peace, then you can be content with very little. You know, sometimes the people with the least have the greatest faith. Because they found a joy in the Lord. They found their strength in the Lord. They found their peace, their contentment in the Lord. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Yeah. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Seek the Lord, he said, seek me and live. Why? He is the life-giving Spirit. He is the Father of our spirits. He is the lover of our soul. He is life. He didn't say, I am a way to life. He says, I am the life. Amen. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. So in him we live and move and have our being. 2 Peter 2:20. This is talking about escaping the pollutions of the world. You know, again, the devil is looking for the voids. He's looking for the empty places. He's looking for those who are just kind of being nonchalant about their relationship with Jesus, you know, and that are opening themselves up to all kinds of other things to try to fill that void that only God should be filling. Amen. So he waits and he watches and he sees that there are vacancies. There are voids. There are areas that we have yielded and maybe become sympathetic towards sin. Well, I'll just repent later. How many know there are consequences? Yes, God can forgive, but sometimes you're going to have to pay, amen, for the thing that you did in rebellion to God, because God wants you to learn a lesson. God loves you so much that sometimes he will allow the discipline of the Lord, amen, to come into your life to wake you up and bring you back to where you need to be, because God doesn't want to lose you. He's a jealous God. He paid for you in blood, amen? He paid the highest price for you and for me. So we are not to take this body, for example, and go out and join, amen, to immorality. Give it away, amen, to something that you know displeases the Lord. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's to be kept holy for him, amen? A habitation of God. And so here, Peter's warning is as if they have escaped the pollutions of the world. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. Overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. How many know that it's better not to know the way than to know the way and to turn from the way? Because what you know, you're going to be responsible for. You know, James said, to the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So we are responsible for what we know to be true. God loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to have a blessed life. Just like we want to bless our children. Amen. But when we bless our children, we bless them, amen, in hopes that they will look beyond the blessing and see the heart of the one that gave it and come to know that one. Isn't that how we love people? We give people because we're really sharing our heart with them. We're saying, I'm doing this because I want you to see my heart towards you, that I love you and I care about you. And I'm doing this, amen. Not so you just say, well, thanks later, like my dog. But we'll say, thank you. God bless you. When you receive a blessing from the Lord, what should you do? You should say, thank you, Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're seeing the heart of God. You're receiving from the heart of God. Hallelujah. And not just from his hand, but from him. Hallelujah. From his heart. And whenever you find idols and idol worship, you find selfishness. Because the idol becomes the source of blessing. But there's no relationship with an idol. There's no life in an idol. There's only a blessing, amen, and it's a demonic blessing, obviously, to hook you in deeper. And so sometimes people worship the devil because they're wanting something, money, fame, sex, whatever. So they worship the devil, and of course he convinces them that he's their friend. You know, he's the god of the underdog. That's what he tells them. How many know that Jesus reached down to the lowest places, amen, and reaches up and pulls us to himself, brings us to himself. But whenever you find idol worship, it's always about, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make an investment. I'm going to pay some money to this idol. I'm going to burn incense, you know. In some cases, people, they give blood sacrifices to these things in hopes that they will receive something in return, a blessing in return. And yet again, there's no life in an idol. There's no relationship with an idol. Amen. It's simply a front for a demon. Amen. Because the devil wants your worship. And he's trying to get you to shift your allegiance away from the Lord to this thing. And you know, idols take on different forms, don't they? It's not always about some weird looking thing, amen, made out of wood or stone. It could be a car. It could be a human relationship. Anything that you're putting before God. And but God wants us again to seek His face. Now you know that David was considered, what, a man after God's own heart. And though he was not perfect, God had His eye on him. And you know why? Because David loved His presence. He loved God's presence. David sought the heart of God. David sought to know Him. David just didn't come to God and say, God, give me this stuff. You know, because so often, again, if that's our attitude, often if God even were to give, amen, then we immediately forget Him. I've seen many people come and go who had a need. They got desperate for God for a season because they wanted God to do something for them. As soon as God did for them, they're gone. They're gone. Why? Because they weren't seeking the giver, but they were seeking the gift. And God wants us to know the heart of the giver, that we will turn to Him, and that we might know Him. Hallelujah. Now, King Saul, he was willing to serve the Lord as long as it benefited him. He was in it for the favors, you know, for the handouts. But King David was willing to serve the Lord no matter what. And he didn't want to do anything that didn't cost him something. You know, somebody you love, you're willing to sacrifice for. How many parents here will sacrifice for your children? Amen. A good parent would sacrifice for their family or their husband or their wife because you love that person. And David loved God. He knew the Lord. He pursued Him. He sought His presence. He sought His face. He wasn't after just what God would do for him, but he wanted to know the Lord. And he was a worshiper. And you know, that's what Jesus said, the Father seeking those who will worship Him in spirit. Spirit to spirit. And in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 22, this is Ornan had offered the land to David as a gift, but the king insisted on paying for it. And the Lord had directed David to acquire this threshing floor of Ornan. He was a Jebusite, and he built an altar there and offered sacrifices. So in verse 22, then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it to yourself. Let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for burnt offering, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Now that's a pretty good deal. God instructs David to go and purchase a field, amen? And what's he going to do? Well, he's going to give it to him. Now, I'm sure that his heart was in the right place here. You know, Ornan is saying, hey, I just want to bless you. You know? And so David wouldn't receive that offer, did he? He said in verse 24, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord. How many times have we given our kids, here's a dollar, put that in the offering plate. We're teaching them how to give, I understand. But how much better is it when you don't have to tell your child anything and they say, you know what, I just want to give to Jesus. I want to do something, you know, for Jesus, to His work. And that's awesome, amen? When we don't have to be manipulated, pressured to give. But you want to give willingly, joyfully, right, to the Lord. That's the right kind of attitude, amen? If you're giving because somebody has compelled you or pressured you, and it's not in your heart to give, you might as well hang on to it. Because God's not going to bless that, amen? But God sees the heart of the giver. God is a lover. God is a giver. And He wants us to see His heart towards us, that He was willing, amen, to lay down His life. Jesus laid down His life for us, amen, so that we could be with Him. He demonstrated His love for us at the cross. For God so loved the world. He didn't just say, I love you. He proved that He loved us by sacrificing Himself for us. See, God is in the sacrifice. God sees your sacrifice that you make in His name. Amen. Not to be seen of men, but you do it as unto the Lord. Amen. When you give of yourself, maybe your substance, but basically you're giving of yourself. Amen. To the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I'm willing to offer my body as a living sacrifice. I offer myself back to you out of gratitude for all that you've done. But David says he was not going to take the free gift. Instead, he says, I'm not going to take anything or that does not cost me something. Amen. I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings, which costs me nothing. See, David saw the greater value in giving to God than in receiving the handouts. And guys, this is something that we run into a lot. Some people are really in need of help. Amen? And sometimes it seems like the people that really need the help don't say anything. You know, and some people that don't want to help themselves are always saying something. Amen? And they become codependent on others just to do for them. You know, but David saw that the greater blessing was in the sacrifice and in the giving than in receiving the handout from somebody else who is well-meaning. Guess what? That place that David purchased at a cost later became the site of Solomon's temple. I would rather have. I would rather have God Himself than all the blessings of His hand. If God never did another thing for me, if I have Him, I have everything. All I need. When you and I enter into covenant with the Lord, it's a marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no longer a me thing, it's a we thing. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. Amen? It's a marriage. I'm married to the Lord. We see that in the natural. A good marriage, one is that's one of give and take, amen? That you're sharing together everything in this life. A servant may seek gifts from the master's hand, but he would never have the privilege of sitting at his master's table. Now think about this. God has invited us to his banqueting table. He invites us into that secret place where he has become our abundance, where our lives are filled with Jesus, where our souls are satisfied, where our cup runs over, where all our fears and our worries are gone, our shame is gone, our guilt is gone. There's perfect peace in the presence of the Lord. There's joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's no longer a me thing. It's a we thing, Jesus and I now. But a servant is one who may receive a blessing from the master, but he's not entitled to sit at the table. Because of the sacrifice of our Lord, because of what He did, He has enabled you and I through His blood to come with confidence into His very throne of grace and to sit at His table, to dine at the table of the Lord, at the Master's table, as heirs, hallelujah, as family, as sons, as daughters. And He wants us to enjoy Himself and not just the things He does for us. Guys, sometimes in America, our Christianity has become so shallow because of all the stuff and the things and the distractions and other stuff that's entered in and choked us and taken away our effectiveness even. And our hearts have gone astray often because we've been seeking after other things rather than the God of the blessing. We've become just bless me clubs, you know. So many churches have just come, I just want to get blessed. No, I want to know God. I want to know His heart. I want to know Him. I want to hear His voice. I want to be led of His Spirit. I want to be a faithful man. Amen? You want to be a faithful child of God. You want to listen to His voice and do the will of God, the purposes of God. Amen? As a servant, but not just as a servant, but as a son and a daughter who has taken on the role of a servant. Even as Jesus was one with the Father, He took upon Himself the form of a servant. In the new birth, you and I become children of God. Hallelujah. Joint heirs to the throne. And so we are entitled by the blood of Christ, amen, to come, hallelujah, into the very throne of grace. Isn't it true that the Lord will prepare a place for us in the presence of our enemies? He prepares a table, a feast, a banquet. You know, too many are just nibbling on crumbs. There's a banquet set before Him. God's saying, come, come, come up higher. Come into My presence. Come into My throne room. Everything I have is yours. Come in to that place with Me. Instead, we want to just get a few crumbles that fall in a church service, and we're around somebody else is getting blessed, and we're just kind of eating the crumbs and say, well, that was a nice service. Well, did you have an encounter with God? Has your heart changed? You know, is your mind renewed? Is your soul restored? Is your cup running over? Hallelujah, with the Lord. It's all about His presence. Guys, if we don't have His presence, we don't have anything. There's no sense. We might as well shut the door and put Ichabod on it, man. The glory has departed. But God is our refuge. He's our fortress. It's in Him that we trust. And it's His heart that we're seeking. We're seeking His face. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, the Lord is our righteousness. They shall be filled. Come on, we got to get past the stuff and the things to Him. Yeah. And when you seek, you'll find. You knock, the door will be open. Hallelujah. God wants a family, not a kingdom of servants. God doesn't have to use us. Isn't that true? He chooses to because He wants us to share in His kingdom. If we choose not to serve Him, He will find someone else who is willing. How many know, guys, that we are on limited time? Amen. Your life is like that hourglass, amen? And the older you get, it seems like the faster that sand goes, amen? So if you've been out of the race, it's time to get back on the race, amen? Get back on track and say, Lord, what can I do for You today? We're going to do life together. We're going to serve, amen? Because we want to. Because we love You. And because we want to bless You. Hallelujah. David's heart was to bless God. You understand? We can just say, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. But how can I bless You? How can I bless You today, Lord? How can I say thanks? Remember, there's no life in the treasure. In John 15 and verse 12, Jesus said, this is My commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are My friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves or servants because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. But you are My friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You see, the secret of the Lord is with those who seek Him. Those who seek His face. Those who want an encounter with God. Those who want to experience God. Those who want to go, amen, beyond the veil, amen, into the most holy place. Those who want to see God, hallelujah, more and more and more and more and know Him better and better and better. Are you hearing me, somebody? Those who seek will find. Hallelujah. Sometimes we come and we sang a few songs. I threw out a few words in the air and we're good. I'll see you next week. Maybe if I survive the week. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He's looking for those who want to know Him. How many know that God's in love with you? He really does love you. And the more that we encounter Him who is love, the more that you cannot help but love Him back. Those who know the Lord love the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Those who know the Lord love the Lord. I love Your presence, Lord. Thank You for the gifts. Thank You for the blessings. Thank You for the provision. Thank You for the protection. Thank You for the comfort. But most importantly, Your presence. Hallelujah. 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 And when we enter into that place, hallelujah, it's the secret chamber of the Most High. Amen. That's where the treasure is. Hallelujah. He's our treasure. And then God wants to release through His people from His treasure trove, amen, of gifts, of fruit, amen, of Himself. We are to be an expression, expressors, is that a word? It is now. Expressors of His heart in this world. Remember those glow-in-the-dark things you used to get? I'm going back a few years here, but I remember having one of those crosses, you know, it was a glow-in-the-dark cross. I remember those things. And you'd hold it up to the light, amen, and you'd put it up and you'd turn the light off and it was a glowing cross, you know. Well, that cross glowed for a while, amen, but it didn't glow all night. And the reason why is because it needed to stay in the light, amen, in order to maintain its glow. All right, there's a lesson in that, right? We need to keep looking to the light. We need to keep pressing into God, into His heart. We need to be worshipers of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalms 100, you come before His presence with what? Singing. You enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Hallelujah. You want God in your house? Amen. In this house? Give God praise. Give God glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And He'll fill your vessel. Hallelujah. Praise is toxic to the devil. You want to get the devil out? Get Jesus in. Amen? You know, sometimes you don't have to cast demons out of somebody. God will just squeeze them out of you. He will. The glory of God just starts to move on a person. Amen? It's just like that thing's there. We're out of here, boys. We can't handle this. Because the presence of the Lord is toxic to the devil. But it's life to us. You see, sometimes, guys, we're okay with a few emotions, you know, a little buzz. You know, we get together on Sunday and we get a few goosebumps and, oh, that was wonderful. That's great. But, you know, God wants to take you beyond the goosebumps, amen, into the place of intimacy where you begin to know Him and hear His voice so that you can be led of His Spirit and you can go and bear fruit, that fruit would remain and the Lord would be glorified as a result. God is wanting our hearts, guys. He's looking for worshipers. Amen. We should be a people of praise. We should be a people of gratitude. We should be a people of obedience. Amen. Oh, how many know that obedience is not an option? We are to obey the Lord because we are His sons and His daughters. Amen. And if Papa gives a command, amen, well, you better listen. And how many know that His command is love? He never tells us to do anything that would be harmful or destructive. It's always to be a blessing to someone else. Because God's heart is good. How many know that God will never damage you? That's the devil. God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. God wants to restore to you even that which the enemy has stolen from you over the years. God wants to turn your captivity. God wants your soul free as a bird. Hallelujah. So you can leap and jump and praise the Lord and be free from condemnation and fear. Hallelujah. But it's in His presence. There's fullness of joy. Amen. Perfect love casts out all fear. He's perfect love. Hallelujah. You want confident assurance. You want faith. Well, faith is being in His presence. You're confident in God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the best place to be. Amen. It's not my faith. It's His faith. The faith of God. My part is to first trust in Him. But then when I trust Him, God releases His faith, the faith of God, the provision of God, a supernatural faith that I can believe things that are humanly impossible, that are naturally impossible, because it's God's confidence that comes upon you. You say, but God can. And when God gives you a promise, when you hear His voice, you know that God's going to do that. So let's get close. Draw near. I want to encourage every one of us not just to make a shallow commitment this morning and say, oh, yeah, I'm with you on that, and then go out and forget all about it. I want you to commit yourself to seek the Lord every day, to pray. I want to ask you to commit yourself to come here even before we meet, and let's get into prayer together. Let's get back into praying in the Holy Ghost again. Amen? Let's get filled with God. Hallelujah. Because without Him, we can do nothing. We can play church, but I don't want to play church. I want to see the miracles of God. I want to see the glory of God. Hallelujah. God has so much more for you. If you're willing to seek, you'll find. Amen? Seek Him as your treasure. And He'll share with you even the secrets, hallelujah, of His heart. Because a friend knows what the Master's doing. Amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't always tell His servants, but He'll tell a friend. Hallelujah. And He says, I call you friend if you do whatever I ask you. So start obeying and obey His word, guys. Listen to His voice, amen, what He's telling you. Set yourself apart for Him. Sanctify yourself, amen, to do His will. Amen. Amen.